Yes, I did that. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever it is for you. This is Miss Think Pretty Smart, and the ladies and a gentleman guest. This is Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine, episode 102, when Mercury is in retrograde.
All right.
As I said, we do have a guest. It is Sam Reynolds. You guys may know him from these E Streets. He is an astrologer who has done readings for lots and loads of people, including, I think, everyone, all of Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine.
Right.
So we decided to finally get him on the show. Sam, say hello to the good people out in podcast land.
Hello, people. How are you?
Sam, how are you doing to this evening?
I'm great. I just came back from Seattle, mm-hmm. and so I'm settling back into my New York life. And it's hot here, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely hot.
Whoa.
What?
What's the definition of hot?
Well, East Coast hot, not down south hot. It's a little bit
muggy hot, or is it just?
It feels muggy. It's 77. It feels muggy.
Oh, it's warmer up there than it is here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit warmer than that down here. But anyway, or up here. Oh, wait, down here because you're in New York. One of the things we do, Sam, and I think Lady Buddha may have mentioned this to you, is that we drink during the show, because why not?
Right.
So, do you have a beverage with you this evening?
I do.
Oh, what is it?
All right.
Amen.
It is Lipton hot tea.
What?
My time. Yep.
So, we're going to be whiskey, wine, moonshine, and hot tea.
And Lipton.
And Lipton.
That's right.
Did you at least put like a nip of brandy in there or something?
I mean, no, I don't drink anymore.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, why not,
Sam? Your gentler Sam, right.
What?
Tell us why not.
Because when I converted to Islam, I put drinking on hold.
Hold?
Does that mean, well, hold means you're going to pick it back up.
Right.
you put a pause on it.
Yeah,
I put a pause on it. I mean, like, I actually hold on to the sunnah in terms of an act of discipline. But, you know, every now and again, I will take a sip from my wife's cup, because she still does drink wine. But I decided not to do that.
Okay.
I wish I had you do that. That's weird. We've known you for so long, because we knew you before.
That's true.
When you were an atheist.
Mm-hmm. Or I was in transition. I don't think I
had to say that, because I kind of always knew you would get back to Islam.
Mm-hmm.
I used to tease you about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wasn't quite an atheist, but I didn't talk about God, and I wasn't in a religion per se. But
you have one of the most interesting Twitter feeds. I just remember when I first got on Twitter, and yours will be the first timeline that I would read in the morning, because you would be tweeting about everything from astrology to just whatever. I mean, it was like, and I used to be like, he's like Khalil Gibran, like, speak to us of, you know, whatever.
You used to say that. I forgot that. You sure did.
Oh, that's funny. I never knew that.
Yes.
That's cool.
Speak to us of Pisces.
Right.
Or Scorpio.
Okay. Of course. See? Wait, why
don't
you just say, okay, hater.
Okay. typically, well, I'll get back to that. Lady Buddha, how are you this fine evening?
I'm good. I made it through the downpour. It's been pouring rain where I am, and it's actually pretty cool here. It's in the 60s, so it's definitely warmer where you all are than it is down here. But I'm good. I'm sipping on water and a cab.
Excellent. Yeah. What about you, Sojo?
Same thing. It actually the temperature kind of dropped because of the storm. But actually, all I have is a milkshake from
Oh, and
Chick-fil-A.
you just gave him shade about not okay.
I
Well,
didn't give him
whatever.
shade. Look, I did not give him shade. I have a milkshake as my beverage.
Well, I have a red wine and the bottle is in the kitchen. So I don't know what it is. I think I've drank it here before, and it was probably like in tweet number 20 or so, not tweet, episode number 20 or something. So I don't know if anybody is that dedicated to go back and look, but if you are,
No.
kudos to you. Hey, you don't know. They might
No.
be at work and need something to do, as happens most days, and say, hey, let me find out that one. You know what? You're right. They're not going to do that.
Don't
Anyway.
even know if we have that episode available anywhere right
It's on
now
video on the
on
site.
YouTube.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's out there. The people could if they wanted to. I mean, if there's a really dedicated listener, if you can go back and do that, then I mean, I might have something for you or not. I mean, you know,
I was
who
going to
knows?
say, if you're going
Yeah,
to
she has
make it
baby
prize
food.
worthy.
Right. Don't give an action item without.
Well, do you have a favorite kind of wine?
Actually, I don't. I go through phases. Like maybe about 7 or 8 years ago, I was really into this. 'Cause, well, but let me back. I have a Negro palate, so a lot of the wines that I tend to gravitate to are sweeter. So I used to, like I said, some years ago, really like this particular Riesling. And then I just switched off of that and then got on to something else. And lately, I've been really exploring reds. So that's where I am. With that, I don't know if how much they told you about the show or if you ever listened to the show, but basically we try to keep this as informal as possible and, you know, just, you know, kick it a little bit, kick it old school, yo. I like to throw in
Oh
occasional
goodness.
rap stylings because I, in my core, I am a rapper.
It might be overstating it to call it rap or
Baby
styling.
D, right.
I got
Like
rhymes,
she did
yo.
quote Ghetto Boys on the very first show.
Quoting and raps and stylings are not all one and
You know
the
what? This, you
same.
know
You
what?
just tested your gangster, like.
I mean, everyone knows.
You know what? There is a place, there's a song, excuse me, called Encourage Yourself. It's a lovely gospel song by Donald Lawrence and the Tri-City Singers. And
You know gospel?
I will encourage my own self to be the rap phenomenon I am in my core, okay?
I'm just surprised you know gospel.
Wow.
I am a Jackie of many trades. Anyway, this isn't about me. This is about the show and the guest, okay?
Right. I'm fascinated. Why wouldn't she know gospel?
Exactly.
I mean, she is a good Christian bitch, you're right. You
GCB,
said
all
good
of
Christian
that.
what? A good Christian what?
Good
Or
Christian bitch.
the mistress of darkness. I mean, whatever you want
She's a
to
good
call
Christian bitch? Is that what you said?
it.
That's what they said. Yeah,
Yes.
they call themselves that.
Oh, wow.
I do not. I
Oh
don't.
my God, you filthy liar. Yes, you
I
do.
We can
No.
definitely go back into the archives and find you saying it about you and Smart.
No, me saying that I was pressured.
But wait. Okay, and I'm not even gonna go there because I was gonna ask the Buddhist this, but never mind. I'm
No, I don't even know. There's apparently a thing that, you know, a pop culture reference with good Christian bitch. I don't know what it is.
It was a
It
TV
was a
show.
book and a TV show.
But
Good
it's
Christian
funny.
There's a TV show and a book on How to Be a
Bitches.
Christian Bitch?
Yes, Good
Yeah.
Christian
A
Bitches.
good Christian bitch. Oh, wow.
It was
Yeah,
on TV.
you
On
know, I
TV.
used to be a minister, so I guess that was a long time ago.
Sam, you're like, you just have done some of everything. That's why I love you so much, because it's like every time, it's always something like you find out about yourself. Like, you're like, and I used to be a minister. I knew that, though. But
Yes,
still.
and his Twitter bio says former Baptist preacher cum atheist now progressive Muslim.
That's right.
So, can you what
Yeah,
tell
how
us a
that
little bit
happened?
about that
I
story?
know. How, yeah, you got to take us around.
Cuz you were young when you started off preaching, right?
Right. I was 12 years old when I preached my first sermon on my mom's birthday. And so that was set off by a conversion in 1990 when I became a Christian and then a minister. And I had always been seeking something, but I had also come out of a transition where I was an atheist before that. So I was like, I declared myself an atheist at like 10. And I was like, it just didn't make sense. And then I had a moment where I guess I had a mystical encounter while I was away at camp. And I didn't know how to process it other than what I had been told on my life in terms of Christianity and my family, and felt this calling into the ministry. And I was in the ministry until 19, and I started losing faith in my church specifically because they started having problems, as churches do.
Right.
And so that's when, you know, like many people out there who focus on their church rather than their Christ, I was one of those people that was my transition. And then I lost faith in the church, and then eventually I lost faith in God. And so for about 10 years in the wilderness, I was, until I got deeper into astrology and Kabbalah, and then that kind of brought me back toward belief in something. Mm-hmm. It was losing the personhood of God or the attachment to it. And then, you know, I also, you know, encountered you ladies and also Nicole, and saw, you know, the power of her practice. And I was like, well, I also want to tap into something that grounds me. So I went to the masjid across the street just to pray. And they're like, well, have you said Shahada, which is, have you said there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger? I was like, no. And you're like, well, you can do that. I was like, okay. I mean, it was a little more background than that, but that's essentially what happened. Even someone was recounting that the other day at the masjid. And so that's, I say Islam has become my way of a practice. It's not necessarily my whole life. There's some people who believe in it very literally. I am not one of them. But I use that as keeping my accountability to spirit.
So how does astrology basically fit in all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, a lot of people don't think the two can mix.
Right.
That's true. And there are many people in my masjid who do not believe that astrology and Islam, for instance, can mix. But there's two things with that. Astrology is kind of what kept me going along the spiritual path. And so I think it's very, very spiritual. At least focus, it prompts you to focus on what's beyond your sight. And the other thing is that what's funny is that Islam or Islamic scholars during the Middle Ages, roughly from like the 800s to 1256, were responsible for resuscitating astrology in the Western mind and Western consciousness.
Hmm.
So Islam does have a history specifically with astrology, and Christianity also has had a history with astrology. So all the religions in many ways, in some form or permutation, have been exposed to astrology or even informed by astrology. Some even say that religions are the net result of astrology.
Hmm. So Sam, you know, I know you've been practicing astrology for a long time, but you were a reluctant astrologer. How did you actually become a practitioner of astrology?
I went to see an astrologer, and for some reason I had studied, I was kind-spirited toward numerology, toward tarot, all these other quote-unquote occult things, but for some reason astrology really bothered me. And I was trying to date this older woman who had no interest in me, but who was kind. who basically was like, you're a Scorpio, because I'm on the quote-unquote cusp. And I was like, well, you know, I'd rather be a centaur if I had to choose. I wouldn't want to be a bug.
Wait, hold up.
No offense. But now I embrace it. You know, we have matching tattoos. You know,
we do have matching tattoos. Right. I was about to say, don't let me.
Not beyond that. But so I went to, you know, I was looking for this particular occult book on one of the 10 books of Moses. What is it called? The 9-10 books of Moses. And it's a Kabbalistic magical text, you know, to how to do magic. And this bookstore had it. And this brother is talking to me. He was in Philly. And he was like, well, you ever had your chart done? I was like, no. And he's like, well, let me, you know, I can do your chart for you. And it was a reasonable amount, and I had gotten my student loan, so I had some money. Okay.
Keeping it real.
And he did a reading for me, and for the first 15 minutes, I thought he was full of, you know, BS, because he was going on, he was like, oh, well, you know, you're a pretty smart guy. Well, I had told him I was in graduate school. He's like, I could see that your mom has some trouble carrying you. I'm 4 feet 11. These are not hard things. So I'm like, he's seeing me. I'm like, okay, I was polite. I didn't say anything, but I'm like, okay, I wonder if he's going to say anything that really is going to resonate. And then he did. And he started talking about things that happened with my mom and my brother and my father. And he wasn't too specific, but just having those three people together and saying that there was something that happened between the three of them when I was in, you know, in utero, that piqued my interest. I was like, how do you know that? That's when I broke character, and I literally was like, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about here? And how are you looking at these squiggly lines and saying that you can, you know, come to that? And he was like all avuncular and saying like, no, I'm looking at your sun, you know, with your Jupiter and Mercury. I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me. So that really set me off, and I got books and was like, I have to see how this man did this, and I'm sure there's a trick. So I spent 10 years trying to uncover his trick, only to discover that there was no trick. He was earnest, and next thing you know, I was an astrologer.
And a good one, and a fun one.
Thank you.
It's true.
Thank you.
Now, question, you said after the 10 years of study to debunk his hustle, or what you thought was his hustle,
yeah.
You became an astrologer. Now, is there any type of certification that you had to go through in order to become an astrologer?
There is no certification that one has to go through, but I did go through a certification process. So there is an organization called National Council for Geocosmic Research, and I did 3 out of their 4 levels of certification. The 4th level I could just do. I mean, it's not as engrossing as the others. It's almost like the PhD, and I would say I'm ABD.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do that, and then other organizations have a similar kind of thing. But to be a practicing astrologer, unfortunately, you could get a book today and then say you're an astrologer tomorrow. There's no certification process that's required.
Let me ask you, well, I guess because we've all had readings from you, so we know what your process is. For the listeners who really don't know the difference between having a reading done or looking at their horoscope, like, what is astrology, or what, you know, why is it important, or the scientific part behind it?
So what we do is now using computers. It used to be all done by hand, but we cast a chart based on the date of birth with the year, time of birth, and the city. And we look at where the planets are, and so that's like a snapshot of the heavens when you were born. It's the idea that that snapshot gives us a window in understanding who you are and your likely outcomes, probable outcomes in life. And so what an astrologer does is look at those symbols and interpret them based on the relationships that the planets have to each other, and then also in terms of particular angles of the chart based on the horizon when you're born or where you're born, and comes up with some general or to specific ideas on who you are and how these things might manifest in your life. So it's getting a snapshot, literally an image, by which we use that to understand what how is above is parallel with what's happening below.
So is it future telling the future, fortune telling?
It isn't so much about ultimately attempting to kind of see your future as set in stone as much as probabilities that are likely outcomes based on, you know, raw material, which is your birth chart. So it's pretty much similar in that sense to a geneticist who can look at particular genomes that have been mapped out and know the likelihood for certain things that might manifest in your life. Particularly it might be illnesses, but the astrologer takes that and might say, like, okay, this is where it may be difficult for you in this area of life, or where it may be easier. For instance, you know, I'll pick on Nicole. Natural born academic.
That's Lady Buddha to those who don't know.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
The harp, like it's the instrument harp.
Shut up, Sojo. It's fine, though. I do go by my real name, but go ahead.
Okay. So when you, with Lady Buddha, I mean, she has a chart that lends itself toward academia, for things that are more of the mind and kind of manifesting along that particular track.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what has happened, becoming Dr. Lady Buddha. So,
Dr. Lady Buddha.
So it's looking at that. So I have a 9th house sun So having an interest in philosophy and religion, someone who's gone through at least two religions and then no religion, is kind of a good manifestation of a ninth house son, which is interested in philosophy, travel, these kinds of things.
So one
Tell
thing
us the
that
difference between like a sun sign, a moon sign.
most people know their sun sign. So when they say, "Yo, I'm a Scorpio," or "I'm a Capricorn," or "I'm a Aries," those people recognize that the sun was traveling through a particular season at a particular time of the month and day during the year. The moon also does that, but it does that every 2.5 days. So at the date you were born, the moon was also traveling through a particular sign. The rising sign is based literally and more specifically on the time you were born. So it's what sign is coming above the horizon when you were born. If you're an Aries and you were born at dawn, then there's a good chance that you are an Aries rising, for example. So those are the three calculations, but what they mean, the sun sign is more reflective of your life intention, what you're attempting to get on a soul level. Your moon sign is more the vehicle, the emotional vehicle, your actual physical body, your mom. It actually can represent your mom. And so it gives us a way by which you're navigating or at least making the journey toward getting that soul's purpose from the sun. And then the rising sign is more the route, the physical, and maybe even some measure of the experiential ways by which you're attempting to fulfill this intention. So the planets, based on your rising sign, gives us a way of understanding how they play out, which is more unique than, say, the moon sign or the sun sign. Because you could have two people who have the same sun and moon sign but be very different, and mostly because they have a different level of experience or the things are mapped out for them differently per their chart.
I think that's why a lot of people try to debunk the, astrology because they say, well, I'm a Scorpio and they're a Scorpio and we don't act anything like each other, but they don't
That's
understand that
correct.
there's, houses and moons and, all that other stuff.
Yeah, but they don't say that. I'm like, okay, well, y'all came from the same mama and daddy, but you're completely different. You know what I mean? Or with twins, like you have the same genomes and genetic structure, but genetics must be BS because y'all don't act anything alike.
One of the things that I like when I'm doing my readings with you is that it's not necessarily so much in predicting the future, but sometimes it helps me understand why I've made the decisions that I make or what I have to keep in mind when something comes my way.
Yeah, that's really important for me. I'm glad to hear you say that because that's kind of the net result of the skeptic in me. I still kick at astrology, and astrologers will tell you I will kick sort of at them, not directly, but in terms of understanding how it works and why we do it. And if it's only going to be about fortune telling, then I don't have any real interest in that. What I have more interest in is like, okay, what are the decisions that I can make now per my character and who I am that give me the best possible future? Not so much that it just exists out there as much as something that is participatory. So that's very important to live in a participatory universe rather than one that is just willed by things that we can't understand or see.
Do you, Sam, do you teach any classes on astrology?
Yes, I'm going to be starting another round of classes on the advanced level. I did a beginner's course that ended in April. We started, I think, in late February and continued through April, but I want to do more of an advanced level of classes. I also teach at conferences. I taught a class at a conference, I guess it was on Saturday, on Jupiter returns.
What does that mean?
Oh, so Jupiter returns are literally Jupiter comes back to the original position it was when you were born every 12 years. So again, when you're 24, 23, 24, 35, 36, 47, 48, and so on. And what it signifies is when you are held accountable for your gifts, your unique way that you give energy, thoughts, consciousness into the cosmos, into the community that made you. And especially the 23rd, birthday to the 24th one, that's the second one. The first one is an adult. So that becomes a way by which you start thinking about, some people put it as like what you want to be, who you're going to be in terms of your career. But the better way to put it is like what are your gifts that you're kind of going to give in order to grow, and then also grow the society in which you participate. So Malcolm X, for example, he went into the nation when he was 23 at his second Jupiter return, and that became for him, with his Jupiter in Capricorn, a way to kind of bear the standard that he inherited. A lot of people don't remember that Malcolm X was a second generation black nationalist. So his father and mother both were black nationalists. They met in Canada doing the work of promoting the Honorable Marcus Garvey. And so by the time that he came of age, even though he had moved away from that life at 23, 24, I guess he picks up the standard of his parents and carries it in a different way, but through the honorable.
Did we lose him?
No.
Oh.
You still there, Sam? All
Yeah.
right. So you were talking about something about publishing, and
Oh.
after Marcus Garvey was the last thing I really heard, Sam.
Oh, well, I was talking about Toni Morrison also. She went into publishing when she was 23, 24, which kind of set I guess the tempo for what she became in terms of not just a publisher, but also a writer. Because she was a publisher before, for Random House, an editor before she became a writer. So she actually shepherded people in before she also went in herself.
Oh. Look at there. Fun fact. There will be a quiz at the end, listeners.
Yes.
Well, one of the things that this makes me think about is the fact that you are a proponent of astrology for black people. And, talk a little bit about that, because isn't it just astrology? Like, why, what difference does it make that you need to really help black people be involved in astrology and the diversity of astrology? Why is that important?
It's important because not only is it a body of knowledge that's been around for thousands of years, and much of it we've also to which we've contributed, but I think the key thing is that as a therapeutic tool and also as a way of understanding self, we like to say know thyself, as we wrote among our ancestors in Egypt. This is the real work of learning about yourself. Astrology really affords the possibility of doing that. The other thing is that, you take a country like England, which you have the ascendancy of someone like Queen Elizabeth I, who uses an astrologer to establish a kingdom. And I think, one thing that I have come to see is that there are been many people who use astrology and astrologers throughout the ages, some of them secretly, to great effect. And I think that should be something that should be available to black people. And we actually tend to shy away from that for some religious reasons without acknowledging not just the social and financial benefit of it, but also in terms of what others have done, but also the spiritual benefit of it. And also recognizing that in its history, whether we want to talk about Abraham as the father of the three religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, or not, we have to recognize that Abraham was a stargazer, an astrologer from the land of astrologers, from Chaldea. And so I think we tend to shy away from that without stepping into the power of it.
Why do you think it? Do you think it's the same thing? I don't know how to say this and be politically correct. Do you think it's the same fear or misinformation that black people are given when it comes to the church is the reason that they tend to shy away from astrology? Or do you think it's because they just honestly don't know.
When you say misinformation given about the church, just unpack that a little bit for me.
The way that we are taught to blindly follow the Bible, consider suffering as something that we have to go through, that kind of thing that happens in our churches, to accept suffering, to accept a certain path and not seek outside of ourselves or not tend to research. Like you said, even just your path was based on you wanting to disprove something, but that's not something that's encouraged in our community.
That's correct. And I think, you know, people will say, just listen to the imam, listen to the pastor, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I think that is a real conditioning within our community and our history. And, you know, this, we have to be strong to challenge that and to encourage others to be strong. So, yeah, I mean, we see that in so many different permutations of our culture, from how curiosity can be squelched on the train by a little boy jumping up and like, oh, what's that? And his mama beating him. Mm-hmm, just be like, mm-hmm. I told you to sit down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or even not even be encouraged to seek counseling for things. Because I think of astrology similar into the way where I learned a lot about myself through astrology, but also through getting, you know, like through my counseling degree in psychology and all of that, you tend to learn about yourself. And I think that even in the way that we discourage, well, we're starting to come away from that, but discouraging people to seek out mental health resources.
Exactly right. Yeah, it's almost as if we have to kind of stay insular and to ourselves and to our fears rather than to our courage and to our joys and our, you know, our desires. So I think astrology becomes one symptom of that, and it's an easy, you know, fatality because it's so strange. You know, like what? You know, looking at the stars, you know, and what the Bible says about that and all these different things.
Mm-hmm. All right. So speak to us of Mercury in retrograde.
Yeah, one of my favorite things to talk about. So I want to start off with what the cool thing is about Mercury retrograde. And I think, Sojo, you can appreciate this because you're into moon cycles. So really, Mercury retrograde is a fancy way of saying that Mercury is going to have a new moon. Yeah, so what's happening is that Mercury, when it retrogrades, Mercury, because it's so close to the sun, goes through the zodiac in 88 days, as versus us, which takes 365 days. So but when it goes through that zodiac, it appears to move backwards from our perspective. Whereas we're just moving forward in, you know, our zodiac because we're plodding along. But now it's kind of gone around the track and coming back again. But that seems backwards to us. Like kind of how you speed past a train and it seems to be going backwards, but now you're moving ahead. It's now still moving ahead, Mercury, but what happens is that it's now starting its zodiac cycle again because it's already finished. So it's going toward a rebirth into the its new year, but because it has a faster orbit around the sun than we do, that happens three times during the year. So Mercury goes retrograde or appears to be retrograde three times during the year. And it lasts for 21 days because that's kind of the differential between us moving forward in the zodiac and then Mercury seeming to catch up.
Is it always the same 21 days?
It might be give or take 21 days. It might be 22 one cycle. It might be 23, but roughly no more than that number of times, you know, 20. Maybe I think maximum I've seen 25 days, but not much more than that.
No, I mean the same times during the year.
No, it is not.
Okay.
It also goes through, it seems to go through the same elements. So all of the Mercury retrogrades this year have started off in Aquarius, an air sign, and then now it's Gemini, and then in September, October, it's going to be Libra.
Oh, so it'll be a cycle where it's all air signs and then all water signs.
Right. It was all water signs last year, and then I think maybe next year it'll be fire. So there is a pattern to its madness, but there is still that thing. And people think it's random. It's not random. You know, we can calculate when it's going to happen. And by virtue of seeing what's going to happen, we know it's going again toward its rebirth.
So what should we do to be prepared during Mercury retrograde?
The key thing I always say is to be aware, not beware. And what that means is, just like a new moon, just or before a new moon, you know that the moon is losing light. And so the Sabbath actually came out of those changes of divisions of the moon. So just to go back, to go forward, what happened with the moon cycles and the Shabbat, which became the Sabbath, is that every 7 days, as we know, the moon changes cycles. So in those in-between days, you didn't know what to do, so you just chilled, right? Because it's like, okay, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, it was a different perspective, right? So they didn't have the calculations that we have now. But they were like, okay, the moon's about to change cycle. Just have, like, a way of honoring the moon is chill. So with Mercury retrograde, you're kind of going through a similar thing of the moon, the Mercury going through a recalibration period. So all the things related to Mercury, commerce, communication, and transportation, those things are kind of warped, meaning that they're kind of going through their own shifting cycle. So you just
they go haywire. Right. Everything breaks. Nothing works.
That's what I was about to say. You're very calm talking about this, Sam, but that's not what happened. No.
But it's not always what happens. But yeah, I mean, like, we saw some crazy stuff happening with train wrecks and plane wrecks and all these things just before this retrograde. But that's not going to be true in everyone's life, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like, oh, they're going to have a car accident or they lose their computer or whatever. It just means then you have to take extra precaution and realize things are not going to go as planned or expected. My computer is slower. I just had something on the fritz. So I backed it up. You have to leave earlier to catch your plane rather than like, okay, I can always leave 30 minutes before and get there in enough time. During a Mercury retrograde, it would be wise to leave at least 45 minutes to an hour because things are not going to go as expected or it may not go. So you have to realize that, or for instance, another way is that you're communicating and then you have great communication with your partner, then suddenly it goes haywire. You can opt, as someone we know does, not to participate.
I opt out.
Yeah. Right. Well, how does that work?
Is there a form that you fill out and you send to like Jupiter or what?
I love that.
Well, so this particular time, I actually started having a little bit of trouble with my computer, and I was like, wait a minute, it's Mercury retrograde. That's right. Nope, I'm opting out. And I reminded my husband, listen, we're opting out of Mercury. He was like, oh, it's Mercury retrograde. I'm like, yes, but we've opted out, so we're good. It's really just, I just declared.
Snip the wires in y'all's house.
Right.
I just declare.
Is that your way of claiming the blood? Is that just the blood?
No, yeah, I just declare. I just say we're not participating. Thanks for letting us know that it's going on. And we won't be having any other issues. That was just a good reminder, and we're out. So, yeah, that's it.
I got you.
Yeah, so I just opt out. I just decide that I'm not going to be bothered or harassed by any of the things that may go wrong.
But I think I do like, what did you say, Sam? Be aware, not beware.
Correct.
I don't necessarily become afraid of Mercury in retrograde, but I do take more pains to, like, for example, what you said, back up things on my computer, especially things that are important. I don't know, like, sometimes I know, like, it's when you're talking about communication, like, you may have somebody that didn't get a voicemail or didn't get a text or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So instead of assuming that this person didn't see my communication or they're ignoring me or whatever, you know, I'll follow up. Like, it was just a thing at work, you know, I'll follow up with an email saying, or, you know, a phone call and say, hey, did you see my message about X, Y, and Z, instead of me being pissed and saying, I sent you that shit 24 hours ago.
Right.
It was important. So what is going on?
Key and Peele have a skit that captures this perfectly, where they have, like, have you seen that when they break into a text war, or at least one of them breaks into a text war? That's Mercury retrograde. Where you start off with wrong assumptions, thinking like one thing is happening, you know, and another is happening. Like, you know, someone says back in your text, like, oh, okay. Oh, you want to be smart. Okay. Then you go off.
But see, I think that what Sojo described is part of opting out, right? She's not going to be, you know, a part of the madness associated with this. So because she's aware, she's just going to take a step back, you know, slow it down, take her time. And
hold on now. My first reaction is I sent this shit 24 hours ago and I'm not understanding why you responded. Then I'm like, oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, but that's why. I mean, that's so you didn't go with your first reaction. And that's a vigilance. So, like, last night, I had a moment where I went with my first reaction, and I messed myself up. I was trying. It was going beautifully. I was going with other reactions where I was more intuitive and everything. But then, you know, one little thing happens. I lose my temper. I cussed out the MTA operator. I missed my train.
Wow. Well, to be fair, the MTA operator probably deserved being cursed out for something.
Right. So. I did think that later, but it actually prompted me to be home an hour later than I could have been. I wouldn't have missed that train. But if I had just been, you know, clearer minded, a little nicer, you know, things might have gone smoother. And some measure of it was my fault. Some measure of it definitely was, you know, his attitude. But that's...
And you do have a stinger, though. You got to admit, you do have a scorpion.
Well,
you do.
Yeah, you've seen a little bit on Twitter.
Can we just pause right here and tell everybody, yes, y'all have to see, like, when Sam is using. You haven't done that in a while, or maybe I just haven't been on Twitter in a while.
No, he hasn't done it in a while. He hasn't cleaned your spleen. That's what you call it. That's what you used to call it.
Yeah, every now and again, I would have to, like, flay flesh with somebody.
And you circle your prey, like, and then you'd be like, bam.
Yeah, but this dude, you know, anyway, we'll move on. But yeah, that's the key thing, is to stay aware and opt out rather than going with your knee-jerk reactions. Mercury is not interested in your knee-jerk reactions.
Okay, well, question, because one of the things, because I was, you know, looking for this show where they were talking about, you know, ways to survive Mercury in retrograde and blah, 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 blah. And one of the things I saw was don't purchase any big ticket items because they'll usually have flaws or things you weren't aware of. Is that something that you would recommend, is to wait on those things?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I try not to use the word don't when Mercury retrograde. Don't do this, don't do that, because sometimes you have to. Like some people say, don't sign anything during a Mercury retrograde. And, you know, you can't really live like that. That sounds like fear to me. And I told you, I believe in kind of creating an astrology that provides more options than delimits people. So the idea, because Mercury is kind of going toward his renewal point, is for you to pay attention. So you can sign something, for example, but just look it over 3 times or have someone else look it over because you may not be seeing some things clearly. You can buy a higher ticket item, but you better be damn sure that's what you want, A. And then, you know, you maybe have it checked at the store before you leave. So you can just you have to be a little more vigilant, or you have a good warranty.
A return policy.
Or return policy. Mm-hmm. All those things, you know, like if your computer went on the fritz during a Mercury retrograde and you needed a new one because that one was like 10 years old, right, you got to do it. So I think it's just being aware rather than like, oh, okay, well, I can't do anything for 3 weeks. I got to tell one part of the story about going into astrology. There's one other mystical element that I actually forget sometimes. So after I saw the astrologer and went on a tear about it, I was talking to this woman who lived in my same graduate school building, where we had graduate housing building. And I was talking to her about it, and I was like, well, when's your birthday? And it turns out we had the exact same birthday, down to the exact year. We were just hours apart. And she had all these astrology books. and I started borrowing them. But what's interesting is that, like, she wouldn't travel during Mercury retrograde. There's a certain thing she wouldn't do. And what is even more interesting is that she became a fundamentalist Christian and disavowed astrology as I became more immersed into astrology.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's kind of a weird shift. But, yeah, she, I remember,
it's
a weird
shift, but it's similar because you got to think about, like, the religious path that you've taken and mm-hmm. the one that she's taken. It's still similar. Maybe the end point is different.
That's correct.
But
and
those things are
she
similar.
Had a different moon sign. So, I mean, I think that changed some measure of our trajectories. But, yeah, she wouldn't travel or do anything during her Mercury retrograde, which was, you know, kind of interesting for me because I actually, having come from a very fundamentalist orientation, I can't even say background because my family even thought, like, boy, you take this stuff too seriously. but I was able to be critical of that Mercury retrograde funk because I knew how you can get rigidified or rigid in a particular belief system.
Mm-hmm. Sam, do you ever have parents come to you asking for astrology readings on their children?
Just did one.
Oh, okay. And mm-hmm. how did that go? Do you think it influences how they raise the child, or were they just trying to understand the child's personality a little bit more?
It definitely helps them understand the child better.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, then that influences how they raise the child. Mm-hmm. It also helps them, you know, with this particular client, her son is grown, but I've been with her, I guess, been talking with her for 10 years. And he has had an alcoholic problem since then. So we've been talking about her ways of managing his alcoholism and challenges to that for 10 years. So mm-hmm. when he might experience, like, one of the things now is I talk about when he might have possible flare-ups or what might be more challenging, or particular times of the year that are more challenging for him
mm-hmm.
astrologically.
Well, speaking of, like, relationships and families and things like that, what do you, like, I see a lot of people who will say, I don't know, I'm just going to pull it out of the air. I'm a Capricorn, so I'll never date a Libra or, you know, stuff like that. What do you say with people who are thinking about dating and compatibility or even, like, we were just talking about Mercury in retrograde, the touchbacks, you know how, like, when old people in your life touch mm-hmm. back to Mercury, like, talk to us about all this stuff.
Yeah, okay, I'll try to answer both of those questions. Juicy. So the first one,
oh, goodness.
The first one, I would say that people have to be very careful of who they disavow or say they're never going to deal with, because that might be the person they either need to be with or clear things up with within themselves.
Well,
because the chart reflects much of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people say to me, like, oh, I can't stand Capricorns, in my head what I hear beyond it, is like I hear literally, like, how I understand Capricorn is some way in which I resist dealing with myself. So they have to correct their understanding of Capricorn, for example. Because mm-hmm. I'll give you an example from my own life experience. I used to have these same feelings towards Sagittarius.
I remember us having that conversation, Sam.
Oh, right. Oh, so that's why you're laughing, because you know how the story ends.
Yes.
Because I was like, oh, I think they lie. I think they talk too much. All these things. And then, lo and behold,
giggle, giggle, giggle.
Right? More giggle, giggle, and here, punchline, come. Then I end up with a Sagittarius.
What do you mean by with?
I'm no,
married to a Sagittarius.
Right, married.
So I'm married to a Sagittarius. Now, sometimes I still run into those, I don't think the lying part, some of those issues. But I had to really deal with, what are my issues related to those things, like enthusiasm? You know, like, mm-hmm. even though I sound enthusiastic, but when someone comes with just too much enthusiasm, like, it's raining outside. I'm like, why so much? Why
too many exclamation points. Yeah.
Right. And it's like, do we need this? But I think enthusiasm, I'm learning to get in touch with my enthusiastic, fun side and, you know, and living.
Hilarious.
I'm serious. So.
This is so true. I'm about to say, he really is, but it's still funny.
Oh, I think it's so precious.
I'm getting in touch with my fun side.
Right.
Exactly. And people take it for granted. Hold on 1 second. That phone, speaking of fun side, doorbell just rang. Honey, can you get that?
Wow, spontaneous visitors, amen.
Exactly, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's definitely something you know, I've had to contend with. So when people say that, I kind of press them to think about their understanding of a particular sign and their experience of it. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing about compatibility, people have to be willing to go deeper, because it's not just like sun signs. Because when people say, like, I'm a Capricorn and he's an Aries, are we compatible? What I hear is, like, I'm from Brooklyn, she's from Queens, are we compatible?
I mean, they are two different worlds, though. So.
I mean, I was like, about to say, Southwest and Decatur. I mean,
right. So it's a very limited way of understanding. You have to look at a lot more of the other aspects of the compatibility than just the sun sign, because that won't give you enough.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well,
I think those were both of your questions there, right?
Oh, I talked about Mercury and retrograde and the touchbacks.
The touchbacks, yeah.
How can I forget it? Because I have a stalker who appears around Mercury.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
That wasn't who was at your door.
Right.
I hope not.
I know. The whole.
I know. Well, my wife is answering the door, so that's really awesome. But she's scared of her.
Oh, good. I guess. Okay.
So.
Wow.
There's a lot of talk. You can hear that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got a party over there now. Get in touch with your fun side. Right, live on the show. No, you can't mute, though, because you got to tell us about the partners that show back up.
Okay, yeah. I'm moving, so I can have some measure of quiet. I know what's happening, but okay. So going where I hope it's a little quieter.
Okay.
So with Mercury retrograde summoning the dead, sometimes those who have been, you know, from your past, remember it's a retrograde, so it brings all the rewords back, you know, revisitation. And what I usually tell people is that when someone has resurrected, you know, whether that was a positive experience or a negative experience, it's kind of a cosmic check-in for where you are in your life. And that doesn't mean then, because people get all mystical sometimes in inappropriate ways, like, oh, well, you know, my boyfriend from the second grade came back. So that must mean something. It might mean that you graduated from the second grade and you don't have to go back. Or it could mean that, yes, this person could become significant and has a message that even could lead toward a relationship, but you should go slow. Because the thing to know about retrogrades is that it's bringing someone back who may not need to be back.
Like a zombie.
Oh, goodness.
The other thing to know is that, one, this is kind of a tangent but related, you shouldn't break up with anyone during a Mercury retrograde, because then it can keep the relationship even holding on. Like, you break up, people break up, and then, you know, they get back together, you know, like, oh, you touched my heart. But whereas it was clear that, you know, you had good reasons for breaking up. But because the retrograde kind of kept things in abeyance for a while, people interpret that as like, oh, well, that means we should be together.
Mm-hmm.
Or that we can work some stuff out, whereas you really aren't working anything out. You're just kind of holding on.
Business, kind of. It's like unfinished business.
Correct. That's a good way of summing that up. Leave that to the Capricorn.
Mm-hmm. That was me, the Scorpio.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Forgive me.
But the Capricorn says this. It has been almost an hour, and we do want to make sure that the people know how to reach you, Sam, and how to get a reading and the process for that, as well as your Twitter information. So I will turn it over to you to give out all that stuff.
Okay, so my website is unlockastrology, all one word, .com. Unlock Astrology, and you can also email me at unlockastrology@gmail.com. And there you can actually follow a little widget that pops up that allows you to book a session with me. And if you're interested in, like, my, I don't know, reason to ratchet, like you guys, Twitter feed, you can follow me at SF Reynolds. That's S as in Sam, F as in Fred, Reynolds, all one word. But if you just want straight astrology, it's Unlock Astrology on Twitter.
Okay, and do you have a cheers for this evening? Anybody you'd like to shout out?
Yes, I'd like to shout out to, well, one, thank you for having me. I feel honored to be on your show, and I have a dear relationship with all of you, I mean, especially with Lady Buddha and Sojo. I mean, because when I was first getting on Twitter, you guys made it a lot of fun. So, you know, I start off with you. And then, of course, shout out to my wife.
The Sagittarius.
Yes, the Sagittarius. So to L. Rose, I'm trying to remember who she is on Dreamer Game, I think, on Twitter.
I was just about to say, I know her Twitter handle.
Right. But she changes it and changes things up from time to time. I think she has like three. So Dreamer Game. And I, for this conference I just came from, I really just want to shout out, you know, the people who were there, like Jeanette Ponder, Nick Dagan Best, and then the organizer, I'm really excited about this, Laura Nabandian, who said, you know, we need to diversify and we need more people of color there. And so we set up these scholarships for people to come. And I know, you know, we had some people even in our circle who donated toward these scholarships to make it. And it happened. We had more sisters there than I have ever seen at any astrology conference. And I had breakfast with black women.
I saw that tweet.
That, and that sounds silly. And I know some people, I know one of my close friends kind of clowned me for that. I was like, oh, okay. I don't think he got it. But why that was such a big deal for me was that, you know, because we don't see enough sisters. Like 85% of my clientele are black women, and 95% of them are women. And what's fascinating to me is that I don't see these women at astrology conferences. So this was a big moment. And so to Laura Nabandian and for the sisters who came out, that's a big deal. So kudos to them.
That's cool. Yeah, I saw that tweet and I was like, good deal.
Yeah, I felt really happy about that. It was a, and you know, they were really into it too. And so I think many of them will continue along the path of developing their career as astrologers. So you'll hear about them. And I've had others who have been kind of growing in the field. Like I know, if you follow her on Twitter, jchiron18.
I just started following her like a month ago.
Okay, cool. She, you know, was one of my students, and so she's coming into her own. Doing astrology, mm-hmm. and growing her practice. So, and then of course this Sagittarian mind, who I won't say he was a student, but I guess a kind of protege at some point. So he is definitely more in his own. So shout out to him. So I could go on, but yeah, these are the people I'm celebrating.
Cool beans.
Okay. Did Lady Buddha? Is she back?
She get herself together. All that noise.
Okay. I know, right? So,
calm it down.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Like, what's going on? Did something, did Mercury and Greg, did it pull you in? I mean, I know you had opted out.
It tried.
It tried, right?
It tried, but I reminded it. No, I opted out.
We heard you battling over there.
Yeah, I'd remind it. Yeah, you got to fight back now. It's not, you know, it doesn't always give up without a fight. But,
right.
Yeah.
There you go. That's a good way to put it.
Where can we reach you, Lady Buddha?
And your cheers.
I don't have any specific cheers, but I would recommend people, if they are curious at all about astrology and if they think they might like it or want a reading, to really check out Sam. He does a lot of different types of readings, and you'll actually be surprised at the types of questions or the types of information you can find out. And he has different lengths and all kinds of stuff. So don't feel like, you know, don't be shy. Just try it out. It'll be something interesting and you'll learn about yourself. And that's what it's all about. But you can reach me on Twitter. I'm at NDCHARP, harp, like the instrument. Or you can reach me on my blog at Coco Studio, COCO Studio Singular, CocoStudio.com.
Excellent, excellent. As I stated at the open of the show, I am Think Pretty Smart. My Twitter is Think_P_Smart. And my cheers today goes to Siobhan Palmer, who's one of the co-founders of Plaid for Women. I was listening to an interview of hers on my way home today, and she said some really great things. One thing in particular that she said was that they have, Plaid for Women has these meetings where they're like 8 women at a table, and the women literally go around the table and say what they need and just help each other with whatever those needs are. It might be resume review. She told a story about somebody whose child had grown out of his wheelchair and needed another wheelchair, and a lady who just happened to be sitting at that table, you know, was able to make that happen within a couple of days. So one of the big things that Plaid for Women sort of pushes is teaching women to ask for what they need and want. And so I thought it was a really good idea with the 8 around the table, and it could be, you know, so, you know, 16 total, but 8 at each table, and just going around and saying what you want. It's networking, and it's also, I think, a confidence builder, because people, you know, everybody has needs, different needs, and if you know what those needs are, you could actually lend a hand and receive a helping hand as well. So, Sojo, can you give your information as well as the show information, which I forgot to do?
Sure. I have 2 cheers. My first cheers goes to filmmaker Frieda Mock and law professor Anita Hill. You ladies know over the weekend I watched a documentary about Anita Hill and the aftermath with the Senate Judiciary hearing with the sexual harassment and all of that. And last week our topic was confidence, friendships, and femininity. And I wish that I had seen the film last week so I could be able to kind of use Anita Hill as an example of just how much like unwavering poise and grace she held throughout that entire ordeal. And so I really just wanted to give her cheers and also encourage people, if they haven't seen it already, it's on Netflix, but it's it is the Anita Hill documentary. And then we also talked about the personal board of directors. And so my second cheers goes to Sam, because he's on my personal board of directors. and like Lady Buddha said, you know, if you guys, you know, just ever want to do a reading, if you're just simply curious, you know, and even if you don't necessarily know where a reading is going to go, Sam is the perfect person to, like, introduce you into, like, how to understand your chart, you know, your personality quirks, all of that stuff. So, Sam, of course, it's my second cheers. And you guys,
thank you.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. And you guys can find me on Twitter at SOJOXOXO. And you can find us collectively on our website, which is whiskeywineandmoonshine.com. We are also on iTunes, Podomatic, and Stitcher. And you guys can find us on Facebook under Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine, and then on Twitter at Whiskey, Wine, Moon.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Well, again, I would like to thank Sam for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
And with that, we'll go ahead and sign off, and we'll say to the people, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.